Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, if there was any question or doubt in your mind that John Jones was the GOAT of UFC, that question was most assuredly answered on Saturday night. The dude came back, has not fought since 2020. So, I mean, there's obvious questions after that. I mean, even if you take like a year off, especially at the rate that John Jones used to fight at, I mean, if you look at his resume, he was pretty much fighting three or four fights a year at one point when he first hit the scene. So, especially in his dominating years, and then I say that, it's like, well, he still dominates. He's been dominating since day one. As I mentioned on Friday's show, his one and only loss is a disqualification that was actually bullshit, really. If you watch it, most of us UFC fans think it's bullshit. And yeah, he's had a bunch of controversies over the years, but it doesn't fucking matter. The dude is the greatest of all time when it comes to UFC fighting. He could do it on the ground. He could do it standing up. He will kill you with the elbows. He will kickbox your face to death. He's just so much fun to watch, and it was just hilarious to see, because I remember when they announced that he was going to be fighting Ciryl Gane, I thought, Gane's a good fighter. Nothing against the dude, but I thought he was a little bit too new, a little bit too green for this. I thought this might have been a little bit too early for him. And as I stated on Friday's show as well, if John Jones takes his ass to the ground, it ain't going to be a good thing for Gane. And that's exactly what happened. Round one. Excuse me. Round one, John Jones just comes right out, and he is dominating from the start. He is just imposing his will on this dude. He gets him to the ground, gets him in the corner, and in round one, with 2 minutes and 4 seconds, submission by John Jones immediately. It wasn't even close. It was just crazy, and good for him. As I said, like, I'm a big John Jones fan, so I was rooting for him. I've got nothing against Gane. I actually think he's a good fighter as well. It's just I didn't know how it was going to work out for him, and it did not look good at all for him. He came in pretty confident, but it didn't go as he thought. But John Jones is back. The dude is the GOAT. If there were any questions, he shut your dumb ass up, because the dude killed it at UFC 285. Looks like he's going to be fighting again. So we'll see who his next opponent is. And remember, Jones had to gain a lot of weight to get up to this weight class too. And you could tell, because John Jones used to have abs of fucking steel, and he had no abs. And but hey, it didn't fucking matter. Dude kicked some ass and solidified that he is the GOAT of UFC. So we'll see what John Jones has in the future. I'm sure he's going to be fighting again later this year. Who knows, though? But that was one hell of a fight. And what a great comeback from John Jones. As I said, dude was coming off of a 3-year hiatus. First time he fought in 3 years, and he dominated. I mean, his last three fights before this one, they went the distance. They went all 5 rounds, and they were unanimous decisions, so he did dominate, but this one was pure domination, and we will see what the future holds for John Jones. I'm excited that he's back, and hopefully we get a few more really solid fights from him. All right, now let's move on to the NBA. Before we get into my top 10 NBA power rankings this week, there is a story going around the NBA right now. It's something I've avoided just because I like to keep this as a strictly sports show. I just like to talk sports. If a topic comes up, like Deshaun Watson, for example, that was something I had to touch on and something I had to discuss and give my opinion on. And so something has arisen in the NBA that's been rumbling about the last 4-5 months, basically kind of since the beginning of the season. It's been something that's bubbling over. I've been kind of just keeping it on the back burner, though, because I want to see if this is just bullshit, if this is just media trying to tear somebody down, or if this is fake thuggery, if this is a cry for help. But it sucks, too, because it involves a player who I really like, who I really am enjoying watching on the come up. And but now this story is getting so big and so many things have come about that I've got to talk about what's going on with Ja Morant. You know, Ja Morant, he is the point guard of the Memphis Grizzlies, and he's been on fire since the day he was drafted. This guy has been that dude. And you could tell he's going to become the next great point guard. He's the next big thing in the league. Or at least he should be. I mean, he plays at such a high level. He's just such a spectacular talent to watch. But unfortunately, this season, he's been getting into some shit, and it's caught up with him. Now, first of all, with Ja Morant, I don't really know anything about his background. I don't know if he came from an affluent type of background where he might have grown up rich and had a silver spoon in his mouth, or if he came from you know, the projects and grew up poor. I'm not sure what his background is. I've never really looked into it. As I've said, I've just been a fan of his game. And so I don't know if what's going on is fake thuggery or if this is just he's about that life. So I'll start it with that. But I also want to say one of the reasons why I've kind of avoided this topic is the media does like to tear athletes especially, but they like to tear people down. And so I couldn't tell if this was just one of those dumb stories that the media was blowing up or if it's actually something we need to discuss. And it's turning into something we need to discuss. So Ja Morant, but what I did want to say before that is that I do want to say and point out that when you are rich, when you are famous, and especially if you are rich, famous, and black, shit can get real for you, even if you're a thug or not a thug. It's just, unfortunately, that comes with the territory. Just sometimes that's a mentality that some people have is they want to root for you, see the black man make it, but then there's also people in that same exact community who want to tear you down. And I'm sure there's people who want to murder Ja Morant. I'm sure there's people who want to kidnap his kids. I'm sure there's people who want to kill his dad. Because that's unfortunately what comes with being rich and famous, is that there are people who want to do fucked up shit to you, as well as people who want to praise you. And it's just the pros and cons of being rich and famous. So I do want to point out that there are realities that Ja Morant's life could most certainly be in danger just because of who he is and possibly where he comes from. So this story begins a couple months ago. Back in the Grizzlies were playing in Indiana against the Pacers. And I believe the Grizzlies lost the game. It was a very tense game where it was just a lot of shit was going on the court. The players were getting into it, and it just was one of those really fucked up games between two teams. Nothing crazy really happened, but apparently after the game, Ja Morant had some of his friends point a gun with a snipe, with the red, you know, the red dot, and pointed it at some of the Indiana Pacers staff. And they reported it to the NBA, and they started to investigate it. And this is where it all started. And I remember when I read that, I was like, that's a weird story. But I'm gonna hold back. I'm going to see how it goes. You know, Ja just kind of, you know, brushed it off, kind of said this is just one of those things where the media is trying to point some shit out. And nothing really came about. So then, I want to say about a month ago, might have just been a couple weeks ago, Ja Morant got into an altercation with a kid. I believe he was 16 years old. And this 16-year-old was at Ja Morant's house. And apparently they got into a little altercation. And according to the kid, Ja Morant pointed a gun at him, or at least made him aware that, hey, dude, I got a gun. So there's that. Then, just over the weekend, Ja Morant was on Instagram Live. Some of y'all might want to stop Instagram live in your entire fucking lives, especially moments like this, because he apparently, I didn't watch the thing because I honestly don't really care, especially with that kind of bullshit. I just think it's stupid. But apparently he was flashing a gun on Instagram live. And right after that, the Grizzlies decided to suspend Ja Morant for the next two games. And then they changed it to indefinitely after today because another story came out that apparently Ja Morant was in a club in Denver. The Grizzlies were just in Denver playing a game in Denver. And he apparently had a gun with him. And it's actually a big no-no to travel with your gun. I mean, that's a real, actual, legit law, but also teams have rules for it. So, I don't know what's going on with Ja Morant. I don't know if this is fake thuggery. I don't know if he really legitimately has people going after him or his life or his family. But the dude's got to stop it. He's one of the premier top players who has such a promising future that this just sucks to hear. That's why I said I've been trying to avoid the topic because I've just been hoping it's just been stupid media bullshit. But at this point, it is now affecting his career. And it sucks because, as I said, the guy is a fantastic player to watch. But it's very alarming stuff. You know, flashing guns at people, pointing guns at people, that's obviously never fucking cool to do. And as I started off, before I got really into the stories, I did mention, I understand. I'm sure Ja Morant has people threatening his life. Whether we hear about it, whether we know about it, whether it's been going on since he became an NBA star, or whether it just started this year, maybe he pissed somebody off, maybe he got into it with somebody, I don't fucking know. But it just sucks to see, and you really hope he somehow cleans his act up. I mean, the way I see it is, if you are in this type of position, because there are lots of people in his position where they come from a shitty neighborhood, brought up the wrong way, but they became an NBA star or became a football star or became a musician. And what you do is you get bodyguards. And so I feel like Ja probably has enough money to start investing in some bodyguards if he's really doing this because of protection as opposed to fake thuggery. Because fake thuggery would be even worse, in my opinion, because that's just stupid. And he's just got to stop it, because now it has officially affected his team. It's affected his play. And they're one of the top teams this year. And now, who knows where their season's going to go. But Ja Morant is out indefinitely. And I don't feel like it's going to be a whole season-long thing. But the dude definitely has to get his shit together. And might want to invest in some bodyguards who have guns. And if you have guns, and if you want guns, because I'm not anti-gun in any way, shape, or form. I'm the exact opposite. I 100% believe everybody has the right to own a gun. But it's stupid to be flashing them at people, to be pointing them at people. And it's just stupid. It's just all around fucking stupid. And as a gun owner, I am completely all about gun safety. And one thing you never do, even if it's on fucking Instagram Live, stop flashing your gun. You're not cool. Nobody fucking cares. And if, like I said, if it's fake thuggery, you look like a dumb fucking ass. And you actually look kind of stupid anyways, because you know what? You just affected the rest of the season. So I did have to touch on that subject just because, like I said, it's been growing and growing and building. And with the fact that the Grizzlies have now officially suspended him, I had to discuss it. Especially because, you know, like I said, I like Ja. I'm rooting for the dude. Love to watch the guy play, but he's got to stop that dumb shit. All right, so now let's move on to the top 10 NBA power rankings. Not a lot of shakeups this week. We do have one team that kind of bounced up a little bit. I don't know if they're going to stay there, but they are this week. So let's start it off with number one, been number one for a couple weeks now, Milwaukee Bucks. Overall record of 46-18. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. They finally lost this week after going on, what, like a 16-game winning streak there. This past week, they beat the Brooklyn Nets, the Orlando Magic, and Washington. and their only loss came to the Philadelphia 76ers in a very close matchup. And, you know, of course, Giannis is just having a silent but deadly season. He's averaging a double-double per game. He's averaging 31.2 points per game and 12 rebounds per game. So the dude is just carrying the team. But don't forget about Drew Holiday. That guy has really been going off this entire year. And the Bucks, the reason why they're so good, I feel like, is because that dude's making a huge difference. Then at number two, one of my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Denver Nuggets. Overall record of 45-19. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Houston Rockets and the Memphis Grizzlies. And, you know, Jokic, he's just been on a triple-double tear. He hit his 100th career triple-double last week. And he's just piling up the stats. And we'll see. The Nuggets are right now the top team in the West. And we'll see if they're able to maintain that throughout the rest of the season. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 45-20. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Knicks twice in two crazy fucking games for the Knicks. The Knicks are on fire, by the way. I'll be getting to them in a little bit here. But Boston got taken out by them. And then they also lost to Brooklyn. And they did get a win against Cleveland. So it's been a down week for the Celtics, but not down enough for me to drop them out of the top three. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Philadelphia 76ers. Overall record of 41-22, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Miami Heat and the Dallas Mavericks, but then they beat the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks. Joel Embiid is averaging 33 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, so he's also averaging about a double-double per game, and really just been carrying this squad, and the 76ers actually look like one of the top teams right now in the league. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 39-27. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games, and they are currently on a 9-game winning streak, which is the longest winning streak in the league at this current point in time. As I stated a little bit ago, they beat Boston twice this week. They also beat Brooklyn and Miami, so they're taking out some good teams along the way. Julius Randle had a big game winner. I believe it was in Miami that they played. I can't recall if it was against Miami or Brooklyn, but he had a huge game winner the other night. And the Knicks are just really, really playing great right now. I mean, they've kept it going, and they've had their moments. And we'll see if they're able to keep it going during the playoffs. That's really what it's going to matter. But right now, the Knicks ain't nothing to fuck with. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Phoenix Suns. Overall record of 36-29, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Charlotte Hornets, the Chicago Bulls, and the Dallas Mavericks. And they've been looking really good ever since Devin Booker's come back from injury. But Kevin Durant's fitting right in, sitting pretty, hitting the shots. And he's looked really solid in his last couple of games with the Suns, and they're finally getting it going, and they're getting it going at the right time, because as I've mentioned before, the Western Conference is not as dominating as the Eastern Conference, and really, I feel like there's a couple of teams here who could really take over at the end of the season here and make a nice little solid run, and I feel like the Suns are going to be that team, especially with the addition of Kevin Durant. Looks like it's going to work out for them, and they just keep getting better as Booker gets healthier and Durant gets more settled in. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Sacramento Kings. Overall record of 37-26. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Clippers and lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves. They are currently leading the league in points per game, still averaging 121 points per game. They just actually had a game, I think it was last week, where they went into double overtime. It was the second highest scoring game of all time. I mean, this Kings team is scoring points like no other. It's just crazy. I can't believe that they've been able to keep it up for so long. And I feel like the Kings are an absolute shoo-in for the playoffs. Never thought I was going to say that this year, at least. But they are still ranked third right now out West. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Cleveland Cavaliers. Overall record of 40-26. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Pistons, but they lost to the Celtics. The Cavs have just been up and down all season so far, and that's kind of how their week was, is 1-1, lost 1, beat the shitty team, lost to the good team. So who knows if the Cavaliers are legit? We're obviously going to see if they're legit come playoff time. They should most certainly make the playoffs because they have actually probably been the only team all season that's pretty much been in the top 10 every week. I think there's a couple. I think it's just them and the Celtics who have pretty much been in my top 10 power rankings since week one. Those are, I believe, the only two teams that have been there all season. So the Cavs have been pretty consistent for the most part. It's just very questionable on whether they're a legit team and a legit competitor, especially when you're talking about the Bucks and the 76ers, and hell, even the Knicks. Knicks are on fire right now. I don't know if I would take the Cavs over the Knicks at this point in time. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Memphis Grizzlies. Overall record of 38-25. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Lakers and the Rockets and lost to the Nuggets and the Clippers. And as I said, you know, they've had their issues with the injuries the last couple of months. But now this shit with John Morant, we'll see if it affects the rest of the season. Because right now is when you start to make the playoff push. And as I stated, we don't know how long Ja is going to be out. And even if he comes back, where's his mindset going to be? So who knows what's going to happen here with the Grizzlies, but they are in the top 10 this week. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, I have the Golden State Warriors. Overall record of 34-31, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Portland Trail Blazers, the Clippers, and the Pelicans, and somehow lost to the shitty-ass Lakers yesterday without LeBron. And Steph Curry is back, so they're making a nice little run there. But the Warriors, I've been mentioning, that they're a team who's kind of on the outside looking in when it comes to the playoffs, where they're, who knows if they're going to make it. They should, because the West is not that good. And now with Steph back and healthy, I imagine they're going to at least make a little run here. But they did go on a nice little 3-game winning streak earlier in the week, and then lost yesterday to the Lakers, which was very shocking, because the Lakers actually dominated the game. And Anthony Davis had a solid game. No LeBron, which was very weird that we actually dominated them so well, especially as Steph came back yesterday. So, I don't know. I was very surprised by that game. The Lakers still suck, by the way. So, notice they haven't been in the top 10 NBA power rankings once this season. All right, and then we did have a little bit of NFL news over the weekend. This week is franchise tag week. So we're going to get a few of those as the week wears on. I actually think tomorrow is the deadline for whether or not you're going to franchise tag certain players on teams. We're going to start hearing about extensions and free agent signing. And we actually had our first free agent signing. It's Derek Carr, quarterback who of the Las Vegas Raiders, is now going to be the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. I think that's a great move for both parties. The Saints pretty much are only missing a quarterback. You know, they've got Kamara at running back, who's one of the best in the league. They've got a pretty solid receiving core. They have an okay offensive line. I think they need some help there. But their defense is very good. So Derek Carr going to the New Orleans Saints, I think that's a fucking spectacular move for both of them. And good leadership there. So good move for both the Saints and for Derek Carr. Then the Dallas Cowboys today announced that they're going to put the franchise tag on running back Tony Pollard. Now, when they do put a franchise tag on a player, that doesn't mean really anything. It just means that they want you. You're going to get paid the highest amount that any running back is getting paid this year. I believe it's like $10 million, something like that. But also, if Tony Pollard doesn't want to play, he doesn't have to sign that, and he could just hold out for a better contract, or the Cowboys are just putting the franchise tag on him just to kind of give themselves a little bit more time to negotiate a legit contract with him. But regardless, they did decide to place the franchise tag on Tony Pollard today, which I'm happy about because I didn't want to lose Tony Pollard. I think he's definitely the future of the Cowboys at the running back position, at least for next year. When it comes to running backs, you just never know. It's basically a year-to-year basis when it comes to running backs these days. But Pollard proved he was a huge part of the offense this year, and I feel like we got to keep him for next year. Then also, the Las Vegas Raiders placed the franchise tag on running back Josh Jacobs today. Who knows if that's going to... if that's going to be one of those where he doesn't sign it, or they're just giving themselves time for contract negotiations, just because from what I could tell, Josh Jacobs did not want to be a Raider anymore. So, and I can't blame him either, but just because that team's falling apart, they're in shambles. But we'll see if Josh Jacobs ends up playing for the Raiders or not, but they decided to place the franchise tag on him today. And then the last bit of NFL news, Geno Smith is going to sign an extension with the Seattle Seahawks, and good for him. You know, he's been a journeyman his entire career. He finally had a breakout year this year, and I was reading the details of his contract. Apparently, in the first year, dude's going to make over $50 million. So, shout out to you, Geno Smith, and not giving up on yourself and just playing your fucking heart out, and not only having a good season, but having to pay off, because hell, even if the rest of his contract don't pay off, he's getting $50-plus million this year. That's Geno fucking Smith. Okay? He ain't even that great of a quarterback. He had a great season, but that's pretty fucking crazy. So congratulations to him on that nice slice of pie right there. So that's a little bit of NFL news that we have for the weekend. As I said, I'm sure we're going to have some more franchise tags placed on players throughout the week. Free agency begins next week. And then, of course, you know, we still have NBA basketball going on. Oh, shit. I just fucking realized. My dumbass didn't even write down the top 10 AP college basketball teams. What a dumb fucking ass. I got a new dog today. She's a little puppy. So she's been kind of taking my attention for the last few hours, and that's why I'm like, fuck. I knew I was missing something, and now I get to the end of the show, and my dumb ass was missing something. So you can blame it on the new puppy Dolce. But she's very cute, so she was taking up some time, and that's just how it is when you get a new puppy. So there you go, guys. Sorry, I did not discuss the college basketball top 10. We'll do that. I'll try and remember that next week. Anyways, enjoy the week of basketball, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.